Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast brought to us by Baptist Health. Well, after a lot of waiting, a lot of excitement, and a whole new look roster, it is finally game week for FIU football. And so now is the time to do a deep dive, get you ready, give you a little Panther primer as we prepare for week one this weekend in Tampa against USF. So we got the chance to catch up with defensive coordinator Javon DeWitt as he heads into his fifth year here in the 305, as well as second-year offensive coordinator Nick Coleman, both diving into each position group, telling some fun stories, and looking at what this football team can bring in Willie Simmons' encore campaign. So, without further ado, Javon DeWitt and Nick Coleman, the two head coordinators for FIU.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.
Joined now by fifth-year defensive coordinator for FIU, Javon DeWitt. Coach, we were just talking before this. It's kind of wild, isn't it? It feels like every year is both so long and so short, and now here we go into year number five.
Yeah, I tell everybody, I've been coaching now, this is going to be close to about year 30 for me. I tell them the days go slow and the years go fast. And then it's funny because I was talking to Percy about it the other day as well. And I said, you remember that first meeting we had in your position meeting? I said, you're going to blink and you're going to be a senior and it's going to be over. And he goes, he came in the other day and told me, he goes, like, you were right. Yeah. It goes so fast.
It's funny, too, because in talking to Perk, I always make the old man jokes. And then I've got to stop and go, well, wait a minute. If we've been here as long as Perk, what does that make on us?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's classic.
How good has it been, though, having those guys that have been around, right? Whether it's a Perk or a D. Hill, guys that are fluent in the defensive language of Javon DeWitt?
Yeah, I think it's been a real beneficial thing for me. A lot of the times, a lot of coaches, myself included, you know, we're here to manage the team, direct the team, give them guidance, instruction, put them in positions, but the kids really run the team. And so when you've got someone like, whether it's D. Hill or Perk or even Josiah Taylor for that matter, guys that have been in the system for now 4 or 5 years, they understand what we want out of it, what we're trying to get accomplished. And not, it's not just a memorization of assignment, but an understanding of philosophy and concept. And we try to teach so concept-based as opposed to assignment-based, so that they develop an understanding of what we're trying to do. If you teach it by concept, then they understand what they can give up and what they can't give up, and it lends itself to understanding situational football, and all those things build on each other. So having those guys, like whether it's Perk or D. Hill or some of these other guys that have been around for a while, really, really helps facilitate the knowledge to the younger kids.
To that point, something I heard you talk about yesterday, kind of the simplification of our defense over these last now couple years. How have the guys kind of taken to that and then taken that simplification and then built the wrinkles off of it, kind of like you're just talking about?
It's funny. You know, there's an old leadership axiom that the less you try to hold on tight, the more control you actually get.
Right.
And one of the things that I've learned over the years is you could have a plethora of defense. I mean, you could have 80,000 calls if you wanted them, one for every specific situation. But how pliable are those calls to other situations? And so what we've tried to do is simplify what we do to make it more pliable to different scenarios. So a lot of the things that we've approached it a little bit differently this year is a more of a modular approach to defense, meaning just like if you have a modular anything, you can take one section out and replace with another section, it continues to work without any guidance. And so what we've done is we've tried to simplify a lot and to create a lot of same as principles for the kids. So we throw a lot in the kitchen sink at the older guys and we keep it really slow for the younger guys. But as they build that base of knowledge, they're able to implement it. Maybe it's a freshman, I got to put them on the ones for a rep. I'll tell them, hey, this is just like the other call. It's no different. You have the same responsibilities. It might be a completely different look, but your responsibility remains the same. So it's been really fun.
A modular approach. That's very NASA of you. It's like,
Yeah, exactly.
When that comes up every year during our midweeks, the National is going to cover that. Does your phone blow up? They're like, hey, it's that time of year again.
It's crazy. We had, what was the one last year we played Western Kentucky?
Yeah.
They did some article or some story on it, and some of the books that I like to read, they featured those. And my family was like, really? Like, this is just who you are.
Right.
Like, it's okay to be a football coach that reads.
Right, right. Sometimes we don't expect it. But
no, facts. I understand.
And going back to this group, though, and for you, now year two with Coach Simmons.
Yes.
How has that kind of relationship grown in what he wants to do philosophically, defensively, that meshes with what you want to do?
It's funny. It's actually very eerie similar. Mm-hmm. Like even so, I'll write notes. We go to team meetings every morning before practice, and I write down, what would I be talking about in this team meeting? Like, well, if I was the head coach, what would I say?
Yeah.
And I literally, there are so many days where what I have written down without any conversation with Coach Simmons is almost identical to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So we're very congruent in how we think and how we approach football. He likes to teach things from a conceptual standpoint. Mm-hmm. So they do this deal where they go, they put in a concept of a pass play, let's say, and day one is only at a 2x2. And then day two of the same concept is installed on the 3x1s or motions, trades, and shifts. So they can learn it from a conceptual standpoint first, and they just find out, hey, like, we're moving your pieces around, but your job remains the same. From that standpoint, it's very, very simple. He said, I want to be four down, keep it easy, and let us play fast.
Right.
I said, well, we can do that. And so we really went to work and trying to simplify a lot of the stuff and, you know, have more congruencies throughout the defense.
Speaking of playing fast, how helpful in doing that has it been with this staff being so South Florida, right? I feel like our roster has become more Miami than ever.
For sure.
It was kind of at a peak there.
It's been great. I mean, we live in arguably one of the greatest hotbeds of football talent in the country. I mean, I think if you added up all the players from Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, I think there's more kids that play football there than the entire state of Alabama.
Right.
I think that's an actual fact.
I believe it.
I read that somewhere. So from that standpoint, we'd be crazy not to be heavy in the recruiting world down here. And if you don't have South Florida ties, I think it's very hard to be here. Not only just from a recruiting standpoint, but it's a different way of life here. It's a different animal. And I know everybody's going to say kids are kids and coaching is coaching. And that's true to a degree.
Yeah.
But it is different here. There's different elements of life you have to deal with down here that you might have to deal with in other parts of the country, and different challenges and sometimes different benefits, you know? So you have to look at wherever you are coaching. There's a few resources we can't control. We can't control the history of the place. We can't control the location of the place. And we can't control the recruiting base around the place. But what we can do is use those to our advantage. And we have, I mean, I throw a rock and I'm going to hit a DB that runs a 4.5 or better.
Right.
I mean, it's just what we have here. So it's a sin for us not to be fast, not to use local talent.
I want to kind of hit each position group with you here as we do our deep dive podcast preview. So we'll start from the front, work our way to the back.
Uh-huh.
Defensive line, interior first.
Okay.
A group that's seen a lot of turnover, a lot of new guys, but a lot of exciting talent.
Well, you've got a couple of guys that came in, and Jennings and Moss and some of those guys. Elijah Simmons, I think, is also doing a really good job.
Yeah.
Termites, steady Eddie, still termite.
Still termite.
It's awesome. Man, Cunningham from up at Chaminade. He's doing a really good job. Big, thick guy. I mean, it's really like a $5 cab ride just to get around the guy. So that's really fun for us to watch.
Right.
But those interior guys, they've really, really, we've gotten much bigger and much more explosive on the inside.
For you overall, how has it been working with Coach Calvin in that transition?
It's been really, really fun. He has some ideas. And I want to be a lifelong learner in everything that I do. I love to learn. I loved school. I like that kind of stuff. I like taking something complicated and breaking it down into something simple. And so whenever you can have somebody from outside of my circle of friends, because he really was from outside of my circle of friends, it really opens the door in your eyes and your mind to different ideas and approaches to things. So I write notes every time he talks. I'm writing notes because I want to learn something new. And I've learned a number of things from him already. He's been a defensive coordinator for a number of years, and he's run the show, and he can present like, hey, that's a really good idea, but this might become a problem later. So it's not so much that we're congruent in thought and processes, but it's that he's got a little bit of a different vision and scope and perspective than I do. I think it's an important thing to be able to listen to the guys that you work with. So when he's got a different perspective and maybe a different idea, and I go, oh, that's a good thought. Or no, I don't think that's not going to facilitate what we want to do. So it's been really fun to have him around. I enjoy the shit out of having him around.
For sure.
It's a podcast. I'm allowed to say that.
That might be a little bleep there. Take care of it. I'm getting sidetracked here. I'm curious now that you talk about knowing guys and the way Coach Simmons has built his staff, it's for the pretty much exclusive amount guys he's had relationships with before.
Sure.
So many of them coming through MTSU and that coach stock tree.
Yeah.
How has that kind of been for you in getting to know those guys and becoming ultimately a part of that coaching tree?
Yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic when you say that, because there are certain trees of people that you work with and people that you travel around. And we all have, within that family of people, if you want to look at it from such a standpoint, we all have our ideas and our philosophies and how we want to approach football and what we think is valuable for us to be able to teach, coach, and stop, hopefully, on the defensive side of the football. And then you've got other family of trees that do it a different way. Mm-hmm. And what it really illuminates for you is the fact that there's 1,000 ways to skin a cat. We've been playing football for 100 and some odd years now. People have run it playing 3-down defenses. People have run it playing 4-2-5, 4-3, odd stack. I mean, you name it. There's a million different ways to play defense, right? One thing that doesn't change throughout the course of football is just basic fundamentals. And so I think while there's different viewpoints, different perspectives, and getting to know new people, we all have the same philosophies on fundamentals. So I think it's more about our consistencies than our inconsistencies with each other from that standpoint. We try to minimize one and maximize the other.
So in getting back to the guys on the field, the personnel groups, defensive edge, this is kind of an interesting mix because you've got a couple of returners and a couple of new guys that have really made an impact.
Yeah, for sure. So you got obviously Kenton's back. Great year last year. You know, had a shoulder operation in the offseason, so he missed a fair amount of offseason, but he's been back now for camp, was able to regain his weight, and actually is a little bit bigger than he was last year, a little bit stronger than he was a year ago.
Yeah.
So while I think we all understand that he's really good at the pass rush, I think he's going to be a lot more effective against the run now as well. 8 Mile, Baldridge, Elijah, B-Rabbit, 8 Mile, whatever you want to call it. Like, there's just a motor that won't quit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just nonstop, all day, go. I mean, anytime the ball is thrown, he's going to end up running to it, which is the thing that we really stress. He's really, really fun to coach. He really, really is. DJ from up in Pahokee, transferred in from Ole Miss. I remember him out of high school. It was funny. I was just talking to him the other day about that when I was out there visiting with him on a recruiting trip to go see him. So he brings a whole different dynamic, in my opinion. He is as advertised, in my opinion. I don't want to overstate how good he is, and I don't want to understate it. So I'm going to let the people make their own decisions. But who he affects the most is the people in coverage.
Right.
Because when the quarterback can't sit there in the pocket and throw it, the DBs are licking their chops. Where he's really benefited us the most, obviously there's the physical nature of the run game, but his ability to break down protections has been really fun for us.
And then behind those guys, we have to talk off-ball linebackers. It's with you. So I'm developing a theory, and I don't want to say it's the best linebacker group we've had just yet, because we've had some unbelievable linebackers we have here. But I think I am ready to call it the deepest linebacker group that we've had the last 5 years.
I would agree with that. There were, over the previous 4 seasons here, I mean, there were some games where we went in with 2, maybe 3 linebackers going. We could travel somebody else, but there was no real purpose. They just weren't ready. So for us right now, you know, between Josiah and Perk and Brayshon and Pickle and Kanai and Cam and Dre and Mincy and Orlando, like we have a really deep, deep room.
Yeah.
And the fun part is like, you know, some of the older guys, again, we've talked about this before, how when you have older guys mixed in with younger guys, the older guys can just, the knowledge just seems to permeate.
Right.
And whether it's because it's coming from a player that the kid listens to it, or it's coming from the coach that the kid listens to it, I don't really care as long as they're listening. Those guys are really, really good guys. And I think it's a really close room. I'm a little bit partial to it, obviously. But, you know, we talk all the time about it's not a singular thing. It's a group effort. And whenever you see one linebacker making a play, a big play, you're going to see all the linebackers celebrating. There's no jealousy. There's no animosity. These kids are here to win and to win together. That's really one of the more rewarding things I've seen in a long time, is how they really, they pull together and they cheer for each other. They're not selfish in that regard, which is really fun.
As you guys kind of attacked the portal at that position, you know, Johnny Chaney was kind of one of one. We understand that. But was there lessons from that, say, okay, me, Coach Simmons, Coach Smitty Rock, we understand what worked there and kind of want to apply it to these guys as well with Brand Pickle?
Yeah, so that's funny. The thing we look for, there's a term that I think Coach Smitty has coined. He's got to have that boogity.
That's such a Coach Smitty term.
That's 100% a Coach Smitty term. So I used to term it like, do you want the kid that runs the fo-fo or a 4-4? The fo-fo kid can just pick up and go. He can just run it. He doesn't need to stretch. He's not worried about all that exercise science. He's just running. The 4-4 kid, he wants to stretch, get his cleats ready. So when we look at those kids in the transfer portal, the absolute first thing we look for is he have that boogity. Can he get up and go? Can he pick him up and put him down? I mean, right now, I don't know that we have a linebacker stepping on the field that's slower than 20 miles an hour. That's insanely fast.
That's crazy.
I mean, the one thing we've really, really addressed here, obviously, and you alluded to it earlier, was the speed with which we've got on our team now. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I don't know if we have anybody in a two-point stance that doesn't run 20.
Mm-hmm.
And some are over 22.
Yeah.
That's really, really fast.
That's crazy.
I get to lick my chops a little bit when we have those kind of things.
And make Coach Hick happy too.
So I visit with Hickman every day because I like to get to the science behind the exercise and why we do what we do and why are we training at this percentages and what's their max velocity speeds they got to meet every week. And I want to understand the science behind it so that if he's not here or I see a kid who's struggling in a certain aspect, I can address it and maybe change his rep count that day. But he has absolutely really helped us an unbelievable amount in terms. If you looked at our game last year against the team up north, I thought we outconditioned them.
100%.
I'm not trying to downgrade them. I'm not talking trash on them in any way, shape, or form. But at the end of the game, we were in better shape than they were. Yeah. And I told Hickman immediately following the game, like, I credit that win to you.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd say
there's
that.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah. All the way in the back, the DB room.
Yeah.
Cornerback, safeties.
Ooh, they're fun. They are fun to coach. Now, we got Shamir. We've got D. Hill. We've got Boykins, who was with me at North Carolina. Wesley Miller. I mean, quite honestly, the deepest room we have is probably safety. Yeah, you could argue that's an arguable
safety or off-ball linebacker, I think, would be one of those two.
But the thing that the safety room has probably more than the linebacker is more experience.
That's right.
I think we've got an experienced room, but some of our safeties could play the nickel spot, the boundary safety, the field safety, and those are all three different positions.
Totally.
But they understand them. There's a difference between knowing what to do and understanding what to do. I think in spring they knew what to do. Now they understand what to do and why they're doing it. And I think that's a huge leap forward. Like, that's a gigantic leap for us in terms of understanding and putting us in the right positions. And they might make a check that really wouldn't make sense to a normal person, but as long as everybody plays it, we'll probably be in a better situation to do things.
And it kind of ties those two rooms together. And it's the last one for you. We'll let you go. For us, nickel defense has been basically our base defense for a while. And a lot of that was we had depth at DB. We still do. But now we also have depth at linebacker in a way that is kind of different. So how do you kind of balance that, especially with those safeties playing nickel, playing almost linebacker there? Yeah. How do you kind of navigate all
that? It's really fun. So, again, it's a modular approach, right? You can take this guy and put him down here and say, hey, this is like maybe we're playing a split safety defense and they're playing palms outside. We can do it with a linebacker. We can do it with a nickel. We can do it with a safety. It's going to be very hard for an offense to say when number two lines up here, this is what they're playing. When number nine lines up over here and he's bossed over to the fit, we understand what they're in. That's not necessarily going to be the case anymore. So we're able to give disguises just by the nature of the call because it's a new body doing it. So it's very hard for people to just hone in on exactly what we're calling.
All right, Coach, we appreciate the time.
Yeah, man.
Get back to it. USF's right around the corner. So
I love it, man. I look forward to seeing everybody out there.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep.
Joined now by our offensive coordinator here with FIU football, Nick Coleman. And Coach, headed into year number two, how does it feel different? How does it feel the same as we compare it to when you guys were just starting out about 365 days ago?
Yeah, you know, this time last year, there's a lot of unknowns. I think the guys were getting used to us. We were getting used to them. You know, when you come in and you try to implement your culture and what you're trying to do, and there's a lot of guys turning on the team and they're trying to feel you out and understand, is this guy, you know, full of it, or is he telling the truth? And I think as the season went on, they learned to trust us. And going into year two, I just think is building on that trust factor and family aspect of it. And these guys know us now, and we've coached them now for a long time. We had a lot of guys returning on offense and just added a few from the portal in high school, you know, after that first season. So just being able to build that trust with these guys year two is huge. Obviously, familiarity with the system, familiarity with what we want obviously comes with it also. But just being around them and just knowing them another year, anytime you can build that relationship another year, it makes it even better.
For you off the field, I'm curious, does it feel more comfortable now? You mentioned the family aspect, the family off the field, now kind of settling into Miami a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're settling in. We planted roots. You know, we play every sport out there that you can find. We're in the parks. My daughter's in volleyball and in basketball and flag football. My son's in football, baseball, basketball. You know, around here, football's year-round. So, 100%. You know, we're in the parks 12 months a year playing and doing. My wife's an angel and a saint. I don't know how she does it. She just runs Uber everywhere across the city. But, you know, really getting settled in, love the city. And love the people. Definitely a place that growing up in the South and growing up in the Southeast, you know, I never had the opportunity to live in Miami. Recruited down here a lot, but never had the opportunity to live down here. So been pleasantly surprised with everything. And just the thing that stands out the most down here is how much people love sports.
Yeah.
And you go to these parks on a random Saturday and they're packed and kids are trying to play and just get an opportunity to compete. And that's all people want to do down here is compete and play sports. And it's really opened my kids' eyes to the competition level down here. They've raised their level of competition since they've been down here. So really enjoyed it.
Got Tamiami Park right here. It's full all the time.
It's all the time. Baseball's played 7 days of week, 12 months a year down there. Sunday morning, don't matter. You come in the office, somebody's got a game out there.
100%. Speaking of your family, I'll use it as kind of a gateway where if anyone's been to one of our practices or games, your son is always attached to our quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how has he liked, I'll say working with JJ and these guys that he's got now as opposed to Coach Scheisty, who's still here. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Kiwon last year. How has he kind of enjoyed that switch?
You know, there's a lot of things that growing up as a coach's kid that sucks, right?
Sure.
You know, dad's away. Mom's got to carry a lot of weight a lot of times. So just the ability, you know, to be in a program like Coach Simmons is running here, to be able to have her kids around is a blessing because that doesn't happen everywhere. You know, he's getting that age now where when we come to work, he's like, I'm going to the locker room. You know, it used to be he'd hang with me. So now he's like, I'm going to the locker room. I'm going to see the boys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been pretty fun. You know, this summer I let him run some meetings and start the meetings off with he'll do, you know, get to know you trivia with the quarterbacks. He'll split them up in teams and we'll do sports trivia. and kind of he'll do the icebreaker to our quarterback meetings. It's funny, it's crazy, but like that's how they're raised. You know, he's raised in the locker room, he's raised in the meeting rooms, and those guys are like his brothers. Yeah. You know, he's got a little sister. He obviously he's got a dad that's a coach, but those guys are like his brothers. So he gets more excited about coming to games and coming to practice. Just found out his game in a few weeks got moved earlier so he can make it to some, because they play on Saturdays too. So
yeah.
I'm hoping he can make as many as he can. So he fired up last night. They moved the game earlier so he can make it. But, you know, we're a football family, and these boys are part of our family. And Keewon's part of my family, and Joe's part of my family, and all the guys I've coached over the years. I went to two former quarterbacks' weddings this past summer. You know, I'm getting old now. Now they're starting to spread their wings a little bit and get married and have kids and send pictures and keep up with everybody. This profession brings a lot of blessings as far as relationships and seeing guys grow, and having those guys to be able to help raise my son is a blessing, because we need all the help we can get.
This is the joke I was just making with Coach DeWitt, but whenever we're around Percy Courtney, we always call him the old guy, because he's been around forever. And then him and I have been here as long as Perk. And you go, wait a minute. If we're calling Perk old, what are we doing here? Same here, right? Where Zach is old by the college standard. But at the same time, it's got to make you feel a little bit when all his teammates are like, oh, look at the old guy, Zach Barker.
I know, right? No, it's funny. We got Zach and we got Schaefer on offense who are, you know, getting close to drawing Social Security. So I told him, man, I wish, you know, we all say it when you get older, you wish you could go back and never graduate. And they're getting the most out of this experience. And they're awesome. Played a lot of football, seen a lot of football, and they've seen a lot of life. So some of the stories we get to tell between Marker's freshman year was DJ's seventh grade year. Right. You know, and by the time we get done with the story, DJ's like, I have no idea what – I wasn't paying any attention to what you're talking about. And I was in seventh grade, Marker, during that year. So we have a big dynamic of guys. It's awesome.
JJ's the front of it, of course. I think folks want to hear about the starting quarterback. Yep. So what has it been like working with JJ here as he gets ready for this USF game?
JJ's raised by a great, great family, great mom, great dad, football family. Dad played college football, is a well-known coach around the world, really, with his kicking clinics and coaching that he does and business that he has. He's coached in the NFL. He's coached. So JJ grew up around the game. JJ grew up around coaching. He grew up around college athletes that hold their kids to high standards. So when he came in, you know, even though he'd been a couple different places in a couple different systems, the maturity level stood out. His ability to be able to learn and prepare and be able to basically show up like a pro. Like, you know, these days with colleges, your schedules and stuff, we're a morning team, and as soon as we get out of practice, he's the first one up here watching film. So never asked him to do it. He does it on his own, and he comes in with questions and things like that. The way he's handled himself since he's been here from day one was, I'm going to come in, I'm going to compete, and do exactly what I need to do. But just the maturity level. And in this day and age of college football, to have a guy that can carry himself like he does, you know, you feel good about going into it.
Speaking of the way they carry themselves, him and Zach both, it's not a requirement to play quarterback to have a great energy in everything you do, but it kind of sure helps.
Yeah.
Because I think our fans are going to get to know those two over these next few months, and they'll be the first ones. You're at practice, they'll come up, say hi, how you doing? You know, get their energy is really infectious, both of them.
Yeah, no, it's funny. They're like stepbrothers.
Yeah.
You know, grew up right down the road from each other in Iowa. Yep. Didn't really know it until they both got here. You know, Zach got here a little bit later in the semester, but they're like Dell and Brennan from Step Brothers. They're like best friends, and they laugh and joke and play games and jokes on each other and things like that. And so the off the field thing about them is that they're really good friends, and the on the field competition was great, because there can be some bad competition. There can be some people that hold grudges and things like that. And there was nothing there. You know, they're cheering each other on. Somebody rips one, heck yeah, great throw. Somebody throws a post ball, great post ball, JJ, great throw, Zach, you know. And they're the same in the meeting room. But, you know, their energy and their willingness to prepare rubs off on every position. You know, first it's the quarterbacks coming up watching film extra. Next thing you know, you go in the room and here's all the receivers and here's somebody else. And next thing you know, they're bringing somebody with them and they're coming up and they're watching film together. And just having that maturity and that professionalism about them is rubbed off on everyone else.
As you've gotten into a groove with those guys – calling plays in practice, I'm curious if you found yourself, you call a play and you're like, oh, I think this is what Coach Simmons would have called. Or last year, the opposite, right? Where Coach Simmons calls a play in the game and you're like, hey, that's kind of what I would have called. How do you think that rhythm has kind of grown between you and Coach Simmons as it relates to play calling in for the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, one thing about me and Coach Simmons, were quarterbacks.
Right.
So he was a lot better quarterback than me. So I'm not going to say at no point in time was at his level or anything, but we see the game from a quarterback's view.
Definitely.
And there's no, like, I get asked that question quite a bit, but we see the game from the quarterback's view. We see the game from an all-22 view. And there's nothing wrong with any other positions, but that's just how we see the game. And we see the game very similar. We have a great relationship. He's one of my best friends in this profession. And I get to go to work every day with one of my best friends and someone I respect and look up to. And so we work great together.
Yeah.
And we worked great together 15 years ago, and we did it and took my way. He took his way, and we came back and just picked up where we left off.
One thing I admire about you both is you're never bound to a system, right? So I think you guys looked at last year's team and said, okay, the best way to play offense is KJ, go that way. KJ, go that way.
Yep.
Here we go. Now, and I've got to be careful, so you can tell me if I'm on base here.
Yep.
But I always like to craft a storyline. I think this is an offense that will allow you and Coach Simmons to kind of get a little closer to the identity that you were looking for. This kind of feels like a shotgun Simmons offense to me.
Me and Coach have called a lot of plays over our careers. You know, you have a base system. You have what you want to do. And then you start figuring out things you want to install and attack and different type of things. And then you start figuring out the strengths of your team.
Right.
And then as you start figuring out the strengths of your team through camp and through different things that we do and the knowledge of it and stuff like that, that's where you build your ethos of your system for that year. And it may change year after year. So as we get going to this year, we've got a good idea of what we're good at, of what we need to implement. You know, we want to be multiple in what we do. We want to play with tempo. That stuff's not going to change. But we also have some off-season studies that we did and some things that we may pull out the bag as the season goes on too.
No doubt. Talk about KJ, so it's a perfect segue to talk about the running back room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different look this year, a little bit less veteran in some ways. There's not a KJ Owens in there, but there's a lot of talent and guys that do different things well. How do you kind of evaluate that room right now?
Yeah, and just like any room that you build, you want guys that have different strengths, mm-hmm. right? So they can play off each other. Like when, you know, Devontae goes in, he's got his strengths. When AC goes in, he's got his strengths. When Juice goes in, when Justin goes in, when Mook goes in, all those guys get in, they've got their different strengths, and they're going to build off each other. And Coach Dove does a great job with those guys of understanding that when my number's called, be ready. And that, you know, it's an unselfish room and it's going to be guys that it's like fast break basketball.
Right.
I got it. Boom. Here I go. You get it next. Boom. Here you go. And that's how we want our offense to play. But they've done a great job. And, you know, and you'll see as we get going through the season kind of how we rotate those guys and how we play them. But we trust every one of them. They can go in there and make plays. They've all done it in games, and we're really excited about their running back room.
No doubt. And then right next to him, that wide receiver room, it kind of feels similar in a way. It's a lot of guys who have different strengths but can be very complementary, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that room is a veteran group.
Yeah.
You know, that's the good thing about that group. You know, we added Greg in the offseason. We added Barrett. We added Malik. But for the most part, all those guys are coming back. And then building the system year two, what we like to do with our offense and different things with our tempos and shifts and motions, you know, that being in that year two, that helps them out a lot too. Because Coach JB will tell you, the first thing you got to do with us, you got to get lined up.
Yeah.
Got to get lined up. We're going to give you different pitchers and do different things. Got to be able to get lined up. But, you know, those guys are a mature group. They're awesome. You know, McGuire and Kyle and Greg and all those guys, JoJo. And, you know, Dre Brown's had a good camp. We've had some young guys have some really good camps, you know, and they just, you know, Kenny and Amari, and they're going in year two in our system. So they're very similar, you know. It's like fast break, man. Let's get in there, get you some pops. Let somebody else go in, get you some. Let the quarterbacks make the right reads. Let's go play football.
South Florida, I think our position of pride is wide receiver. How have you kind of liked working with the Miami flavor of wideout?
Yeah, no, that's funny. You know, as you go through your career, and even when I played, you know, I always played with receivers from South Florida. I always recruited receivers from South Florida, you know, even though I never coached in the area in college. This is where we came to get them.
100%.
You know, and after having a 13-year-old son in the parks, I realized, why? I mean, they play football 12 months a year. They throw it. They go to flag. They go to 7-on-7. They do that. And these guys are just skilled, so skilled at an early age of throwing the football.
Yeah.
And there's an old saying, you know, you want to find fast people, go close to the water. And the closer you get the water, usually the faster people run.
Yep.
That means the weather's good and they're running all year. And mm-hmm. so we built that room off those skills they have, not along with receiver, but running and stuff like that. And a lot of our guys are, you know, got track times and stuff. That's a big deal down here. Also is track and field. So, you know, be able to build your room with mostly South Florida guys is a pretty special thing to do.
No doubt. Tight end room kind of always going to complement that wide receiver room. And you got, you know, Jackson Verdugo, who doesn't look like a sophomore by any means, but is.
Yeah.
And then you've got some newcomers as well. What has you excited about maybe the most versatile room on offense?
Yeah, you know, those guys got to, as we tell them, you know, you're the behind the quarterback, you're the most important position. Not saying any other position is least important, trust me. And that knowledge they have to have in the run game and the pass game, is way different than the other positions. So, you know, Coach Ponce does a great job with them, of them understanding that. But, you know, Verdugo coming back year two is huge. I mean, he's a pro in everything that he does. He's a grown man. And then be able to add James and AP, you know, in the offseason was big. Both those guys were here with us in the spring, so that helped a lot. That helped a lot to be able to learn what we're doing in the offense. And then we were able to add Kevin Schaefer, you know, brings that older guy, you know, because we were old at the position last year. We had two seniors and then Verdugo for the most part. So we were older that position last year, so being able to bring Kevin in gives us that older feel. And then James coming in for junior college and Aiden coming in from high school was a big deal. Then you got Sean Burke going into year two. So those guys are very important for our offense and what we do. You know, they got to have versatility. They got to understand the run game. They got to understand protections and then understand the pass game and the timing and the spacing. And so, you know, I'm excited about that room this year because we've kind of tilted some different guys with different skill sets. We'll see how it plays out as the year goes.
Tight end's always going to have to help the offensive line. And as you kind of look out there, it's a different looking room just in terms of how the guys are built. Yeah. Than it was a year ago. But you also look at them technically and you're like, okay, these guys can play offensive line.
Yeah.
You got to fire it up about Coach Pata's side of the ball.
The biggest thing that we had the offensive lines is we were able to retain some guys. You know, we were able to retain Zaire, we were able to retain Tripp, able to retain Miguel. And those are big for us. You know, anytime you can retain three guys that basically started last year, we played seven last year a lot, which is what we wanted to do last year. We were able to retain those guys and lost our two seniors. You know, that was pretty good. And so that gives you that stability. And then be able to bring in guys like Oscar, Manassi, some others, you know, to be able to do Davion, Harley, just to be able to plug in and build off what we built last year. But to have the guys coming back is huge. And those guys have gelled well, and they've done a really good job. Coach Patterson's done a great job with them. And they've understood the level of competition that we need to, you know, we got to have in that room. And we're going to be able to play some extra guys also other than the starting five because of that competition. He does a really good job with it.
You're no stranger to Conference USA, but I'm curious if there was, and looking back at last year, okay, CUSA as general does this well, so now we're going to kind of adapt to it from an offensive play calling standpoint, and maybe even as it regards the trenches and our O-line specifically.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, one of those deals where in group of six football, and as you go every year, there's going to be so much turnover.
Yeah.
You know, so much turnover in every team, so much turnover in what's going on. It's the world that we live in, right? So different coaches are going to do exactly what we're doing. They're going to bring in their players from the off season. They're going to look at their strengths, look at their weaknesses, and try to put them in the best situation to be successful. Exactly what we're trying to do. So the biggest thing that I felt coming into this conference last year and coming into this conference this year is that there is so much change from year to year from a team standpoint and from personnel standpoint that coaches may have to change. And what you see one game or one year may change. And, you know, our job is to be able to make sure we give our guys base rules and understand we do what we do and be able to block it versus this, do it versus that. And then if we have some type of personnel issue, somebody's got somebody on the other team that we have to worry about, then we'll worry about that when we get there.
One thing that hasn't changed is having Joe Pazanski around.
Yeah.
You know, he's going from QB to coach, but Coach Scheisty remains around. How good has that been to him?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It took me a few months, but I got him back. I was praying for him to everything to be able to work out, but also there was something in the back of my mind saying, please come back.
Yep.
So once it all kind of settled down and all the dust settled, he decided he was ready to come back, and I was the happiest person around here. So not only what he brings from an experience standpoint, he is a great coach. He's going to be a great coach.
Yeah.
And mature beyond his age, mature beyond being a GA, you know, his knowledge and what he's made of and what he's about, his leadership, all that stuff is something I'm looking forward to. And I tell him all the time, man, he brings great juice and he gets me juiced up when he does it.
His energy's off the charts. And actually, it's why I kind of had mixed feelings when we brought him back as a GA, because he did the spring game with us on the broadcast.
I know.
And he was great. So I'm like, if he's not going to be a GA, we'll take him over here.
So I've got to tell you,
if you didn't pull it off, I was going to make the recruiting pitch.
So I told him. Then he was hanging out with Gruden and training in the offseason. I'm like, next thing you know, here he goes. He's going to be talking on TV.
100%. So,
but no, he's got a great future ahead of him. Yeah. And I love having him around. He's like, now he's become coach. Now he's one of my buddies. So it's awesome.
That's awesome. We're excited to watch him and all the guys. USF about a week away. So, Coach, we appreciate the time. We'll let you get back to it. We're all pretty fired up.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Always really enjoy catching up with both of those guys. So sharp, so locked in on the task that is in front of FIU. And it's all getting started this weekend in Tampa. Whether you're going to be hanging out with us at Ray J or if you're listening live on FIUsports.com, we're so excited to have you along for the ride, Panther Nation. Football season is finally here, and we know exactly where we're headed next. That's going to do it for this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. What more is there to say? Three of the best words in the English language. Football is back.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.